Thank you for joining us today. I have a very, very important question that I'd love to start off with is, how can I guide my own heart? How can I guide my own heart? You know, I've heard this statement said so many times. All you have to do is follow your heart. You know, go after your passions. And as a dad, I have now a 9-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter. That's probably one of the things I'd hate to see them do one day, is just to do whatever their heart wants to do or give themselves to their passions. I mean, what bad counsel that is. The Bible says our heart is evil. And we have to be guided by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, not by our passions. Passions come and go. They change. The Word of God is the same forever. So today, on that question, how can I guide my heart? I think what's important for us to realize is the health of our hearts. You know, you go for a heart checkup regularly, especially when you're hitting your midlife. You should do that if you haven't yet done it. But we also need to have our spiritual hearts examined. So I have heard many people make these statements, and I've identified with some of them. For instance, here's one. Man, I know I should, but I just haven't yet. Maybe you've said that before. Well, man, I know I'm supposed to make that decision, but for some reason, I just don't want to do it. I just haven't done it yet. I've procrastinated. Well, man, I know I should stop doing that, but simply haven't gotten myself to stop yet. Have you ever made these statements? So let's throw a situation out there that where you know you should have done something, but you haven't. Or you know you shouldn't do that, but you keep on doing that or going there anyway. And I have seen in this battle in my own life and in almost every other man that I know, which had led me to these three questions. The first is, what controls my heart? So I know that I should. In other words, I have a knowledge of right. I have a knowledge of good. But I just haven't yet done it. I don't feel like it. I don't have a drive for it. I don't have a passion for it. So the question is, what controls my heart? Here's another one. What makes my heart love this one thing and hate that thing? And what guides it? Another one is, what affects it? And so how can I move my heart into the right direction? These are some of the questions we'd like to zone in on and ask and answer the best of our ability. Now, but to answer these questions, however, we have to look at a very interesting account of a group of people in the book of Revelation. This is where Jesus speaks to the churches of Laodicea. It was a very wealthy city. 35 years before these verses were written in Revelation, you know, Laodicea was destroyed by a massive earthquake, and then because of all the wealth that they had, they were able to quickly rebuild the city. So you can imagine some of the most affluent cities in our country, and imagine an earthquake taking place, and they were able to rebuild this massive city in a very short period of time. Now, it was a beautiful city, Laodicea. It was extravagant, and it was much like the world that we currently live in here in the West. They had huge theaters. We see in history they had gigantic stadiums. History tells us that they had large, developed shopping areas, lots of entertainment, and there was a tremendous amount of things to enjoy in those cities. Now, this church in this spectacular city, Laodicea, started enjoying the world. And while they were enjoying the world more and more, they were growing increasingly colder toward God. So I love this portion in the Bible, and I love this story, because if you look at history, you can compare it and you can see the very similar trends taking place right now, right here in Chicago, in New York, in San Francisco, San Diego. You can see it all around the United States. people are becoming more and more comfortable with the world. And they are enjoying the world to the point where they're growing colder and colder toward God. All right, so here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, we see the Bible says, Jesus speaking, write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. Now, let me just pause right there. Family, this is the word of Jesus to that specific situation that can be parallel to our specific situation. Therefore, the very word of Jesus is now relevant to you and I also. In verse 15, he says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So to the church of Laodicea, or to the angel of that church, he says, I know all the things that you do, your deeds, your actions, that you are neither hot nor cold. Jesus said, but I know your deeds. Jesus was not talking about what they believed. He was talking about what they were doing. He's very clear. He says, I know all the things that you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. He's not saying, I know all the things you believe in. In other words, Jesus said, I've been to your website, your church website. I see your what we believe section. But I'm not talking about what we believe section. I'm talking about the what you do section. Your conversations, your deeds, your actions. And he was saying, I know you claim that you believe, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about not seeing your lifestyle matching up to what you say you believe. So the interesting thing about Laodicea is Laodicea did not have, they did not have water. Water had to be funneled through a canal. Two streams, one hot stream and one cold stream, coming from the mountains. Now, the hot stream was used for healing, just like we even do today. When we go to Steamboat Springs, Colorado, there are all those hot springs, and you can go and sit in there, and apparently it's really good for your joints, and it's good for your health in general. But then the cold stream that flowed from the other mountain into Laodicea, that they through a canal, the cold water was used to bring to refresh them. But then these two canals came together, and where they met from there on out, it was neither hot nor cold. It was lukewarm, and that water was nauseating. So what does it mean to be lukewarm? It means to be half-hearted. Half-hearted about what you believe. Half-hearted about the cross. Half-hearted about you being an ambassador for Christ. You're a half-hearted soldier in the army of God. You're half-hearted about that. You say you believe, but you don't live like you do. So what does it mean to be lukewarm? Not just to be half-hearted, but to be double-minded about your commitments to the cross. So what I did is I started coming up with a list of things that I asked myself to see whether I am half-hearted or double-minded, to see if I was not just hot or cold, but if I was lukewarm. And I wrote them out for myself, and I want to share them with you. And the question is really, how do I act when I become lukewarm? How do I act when I become half-hearted? How do I act when I become double-minded? Because remember, Jesus said, I know your deeds. So that's what I wanted to zone in on. How does a half-hearted, double-minded, lukewarm individual act? And the first I want to give you, now I have many, and I'm going to share the rest of them with you in our next segment. But I want to start off by just mentioning the first one is that I crave acceptance from people more than what I crave acceptance from God. It is when I become desperate to fit into this world that I'm so comfortable with. Instead of being separated from the world, we join in with the world. Instead of being different from the world, we start looking like the world, sounding like the world, acting just like we are part of the world. It's when we start compromising our principles in order to be popular with those in the world. So the first thing to consider is, do I crave acceptance from people rather than acceptance from God? So please make sure to join us for all the other points next time around.
Thank you for joining us today for a message from Pastor Jacques Jacobs with Christ Nation Church in Schaumburg, Illinois. Christ Nation is a friendly, life-giving church dedicated to serving the Lord by serving His people in the surrounding area and beyond, believers and unbelievers alike. Join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. or watch online by going to ChristNation.tv and selecting the Watch Live tab. For more information about Christ Nation Church or to download the podcast of all Pastor Jacques' sermons, visit ChristNation.tv. That's ChristNation.tv. This program is made possible by our radio church partners.
Christ Nation Radio Church is listener supported. If you have been blessed by this program and would like to invest in our mission here at Christ Nation Radio, then please consider becoming a monthly partner or make a one-time donation by going to our website at ChristNation.tv and then select the giving button. That is ChristNation.tv. With your support, we hope to continue and expand our mission of reaching hearts with the hope of God's Word. Just go to ChristNation.tv.